Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Monday, September 8th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's tonight's top stories.
Tonight, President Obama expects a long war against ISIS. Then, what the government really thinks about vaccines and autism. And how law enforcement can use technicalities to seize your property. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I mean, I've had them where the cops would just see me in a car, pull me over, going to jail because I'd shot my mouth off. They were dealing drugs.
Obama spoke yesterday about what will be his plan to deal with ISIS. Some people are saying it amounts to little more than him making a speech and asking Congress for more money. Now, the New York Times has laid out Obama's plan to defeat ISIS, and they said the administration warns that this effort is going to take years to complete and continue after Obama has left office. First, there's going to be a sustained air campaign to roll back ISIS gains in northern and western Iraq. They don't give any details about how this is going to work, since no ground troops will be deployed. Next, the U.S. will shuffle around the government in Iraq to make it more inclusive. Now, following the U.S. invasion and the toppling and eventual execution of former CIA operative Saddam Hussein, Iraq predictably descended into sectarian violence. And Julie Levesque writes that what is unfolding there is a process of constructive chaos engineered by the West. So here, when they go on to say that they're going to bring up a new government in Iraq, it's basically history repeating itself. She goes on to say the destabilization of Iraq and its fragmentation has been planned long ago and is part of the Anglo-American-Israeli military roadmap in the Middle East. And it was an effort introduced during the Bush administration and coined the New Middle East by then U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Now, the final element of Obama's plan to deal with ISIS calls for a de facto invasion of Syria. The Pentagon estimates that this part of the plan will take at least 36 months. Now, Kurt Nimmo points out in this article that that number is meaningless if you look at the history of U.S. invasion. Now, Nimmo points out that this is going to turn into a war on civilians. After a sustained air campaign, ISIS will be forced to retreat back into the civilian population in order to hide all of their artillery and their weaponry. The only way they can do that is by melting in with the civilian population. So much like with the 2003 invasion of Iraq, we're going to have mass civilian casualties. Nimmo points out that the U.S. ran out of military targets within the first few days of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. It then concentrated on civilian infrastructure and so-called dual-use targets, electrical power, media, and telecommunications installations. And there were even more of these civilian infrastructures taken down during the first invasion of Iraq, which we're saying this is just a continuation of creative destruction in the region. In addition to further balkanizing Iraq, this ISIS war is now going to serve as a way to take down the Assad government in Syria. Now, this ultimate objective was outlined by the World Tribunal on Iraq in 2005. They said, in declaring a global war on terror, the U.S. government has given itself the exclusive right to use aggressive military force against any target of its choosing. Ethnic and religious hostilities are being fueled in different parts of the world. Now, in late June, President Obama asked Congress for $500 million to arm vetted members of the Syrian opposition. He wanted to give even more money to Syrian opposition. But wait, didn't Obama just do this a year ago only to find out that those arms were going into the hands of Al-Qaeda extremists? And these are essentially the same ones that the U.S. will be waging war against any minute in Iraq. Well, yes, but this time Obama said he had a fail-safe plan. The U.S. wants funds for moderate Syrian rebels. This is what he's requested from Congress. They said they're basically going to be vetting the rebels, which will really amount to asking them, are they for or against U.S. policies in the region? And then they can say, oh, yes, we're for the U.S., and they will be given weapons. But the problem is, how do you define who is a moderate? That is the big question. How do we know these arms aren't going to get into the hands of our enemy? Now, this article is up on InfoWars.com. Syrian rebel commander. Yes, we're still collaborating with ISIS. So this was a commander with the Free Syrian Army, and he admitted to fighting alongside several terrorist organizations. This was Commander Basil Idris, and he said, "We are collaborating with the Islamic State and the Nusra Front by attacking the Syrian Army's gatherings in Qalamun." He said, "Let's face it. The Nusra Front is the biggest power present right now in Qalamun, and we as FSA would collaborate on any mission they launch as long as it coincides with our values." Now, Idris also went on to mention the FSA's dwindling power, saying many of his U.S.-backed fighters continue to pledge allegiance to ISIS. And another retired Syrian Army colonel also acknowledged the growing power of ISIS by saying, "In the end, people want to eat, they want to live, and the Islamic State has everything." So despite openly admitting to working with terrorists for well over a year, Syrian rebel groups are going to continue to be funded and armed and trained by the Obama administration. And, of course, Obama has asked for $500 million in June. Congress at the time said, "We aren't a rubber stamp, and we are going to heavily scrutinize this request for war funding." We'll fast forward now a couple of months, and we have two very politicized, very questionable beheading videos that surfaced while Congress was on recess. Well, now that these videos are making the rounds and public support for attacking ISIS militarily has increased, I don't think Obama is going to have any problem receiving this funding from Congress. It's kind of convenient how that happens, right? Well, Paul Joseph Watson spoke with Robbie Martin, who tells his astounding story of how he and his friend faked a beheading video and fooled the global media. This was years ago.
It was a pretty intense time period. And when we actually finally saw the video, we had to go to the file sharing networks to download it. They didn't have the full video on the media. It was just parts of it. When we finally saw it, we were struck by how, I hate to say it, how phony or just how fake it appeared to be. I don't know if the video itself was fake, but what I'm trying to say is it could have easily been faked by anyone.
So this video was created years ago. Technology has increased exponentially since then, so there is no telling how realistic special effects can be, even with basic equipment. Now, after it turned out that this was a hoax, the global media issued a retraction, but the FBI was promptly sent to interrogate Martin, who believes that perhaps maybe the AP reporters were really embarrassed by it, and so they sicked the feds on him in retaliation for fooling them. But basically, the FBI said that it was illegal, even though it's not really illegal, for them to create these beheading videos, basically saying that they were crying wolf, making people, first of all, fearful that someone had been beheaded, but then to question the validity of these videos. But that, of course, raises concern about the timing of the beheading videos, of course, as it coincides now with Congress coming back in and having to authorize this spending for Obama. Now, what about simulating terrorists crossing the border? Now, our own InfoWars reporter Joe Biggs did this last week. He was able to cross the Mexican border into Texas dressed as ISIS, carrying a severed head. James O'Keefe has also filmed an actor dressed up as an Ebola-infected ISIS terrorist who is carrying bags filled with fake ricin and fake Ebola, and they motorboated right from Canada into the United States. He narrates the video and says, "On the eve of the 9/11 anniversary, our man was dressed as an ISIS terrorist. He was able to cross Lake Erie, walk off a boat into Cleveland, Ohio, and into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. At no point did anyone even question him or ask him what he was carrying in his suspicious brown duffel bag." Now, according to federal law, boaters who cross from Canada to the U.S. must notify the Customs and Border Protection Agency, but do they do that? That's an open question. Do people even know about that requirement? And as most of our recent videos have made very clear, it is not necessary, and it's something that can be done very easily, and it's being done very easily every single day by illegal aliens as well as drug traffickers. Now, coming up, find out how the U.S. has admitted kind of backhandedly, how vaccines do indeed cause autism. And then watch the system at work when cops beat a man who was just asking them a question. City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does.
Ugh. These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
It has processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the Survival Silver Solution. The new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Doctors say an unidentified respiratory virus that has already sickened more than 1,000 children in 10 states is likely to become a nationwide problem. Now, the disease hasn't been officially identified, but officials suspect that it's a rare respiratory virus called human enterovirus 68. This virus is related to the rhinovirus, which causes the common cold. Now, doctors say they aren't yet sure how this particular virus spreads, though the back-to-school season is a normal time for illnesses to spread among children. Now, this is very likely going to be the rhetoric that is used to push vaccines on your kids, especially with this upcoming school year, a vaccine to obviously fight influenza or perhaps an experimental vaccine to fight this as yet undiagnosed virus. But unless you read your vaccine insert, you're not going to know the damage that vaccines can potentially do to your children, and you're definitely not going to hear it from the government unless you know how to read between the lines. Now, here is how the U.S. government admits vaccines cause autism. The extensive article is at childhealthsafety.wordpress.com, but it's titled, Vaccines Did Not Save Us. Halfway through the piece, you're linked to an email from Tina Cheatham at the U.S. Health Resources Services Administration, and she's writing to CBS reporter Cheryl Atkinson. Now, the email concerns the conditions under which the federal government will pay out compensation to parents whose children have been damaged by vaccines. They say, the government has never compensated, nor has it ever been ordered to compensate any case based on a determination that autism was actually caused by vaccines. We have compensated cases in which children exhibited encephalopathy, maybe accompanied by a medical progression of an array of symptoms, including autistic behavior, autism, or seizures. That's official wordplay at work. Compensation for vaccine-induced autism? No. But compensation for vaccine-induced encephalopathy, accompanied by symptoms that are much like autistic behavior? Yes. Here we pointed out, shuffle the words, shuffle the disease labels, and protect the vaccines. That's what they must do, protect the vaccines. Any sane person can see that the government has in fact admitted that vaccines cause autism, which John Rappaport points out in this article. When you translate that, it means vaccines damage brains, regardless of what you call. That is a tragedy and a crime. Now, a new paper that has just been released by Princeton professor Dr. Samuel Wang makes it pretty clear that the case for early childhood brain damage could be the cause for autism. Now, Wang speculates that damage to the cerebellum could be causing autism and that it could be caused in the womb or in early childhood. The cerebellum is responsible for helping young minds process complex sensory information, which over time eventually will lead them to form normal social relationships, like responding to a parent's smiling face, for instance. Now, while Dr. Wang and his co-authors don't completely rule out injury during a child's early life as a possible root of this disorder, they feel it's more likely an injury that's been suffered in the womb that is the cause. They say there is certainly the possibility of postnatal risks, but to my knowledge, the evidence for this is weak and can usually be explained by some prenatal event. But let's take into account that everyone that is on this earth has been in the womb at some point or another, and autism is a relatively new disorder that coincides with the rise in vaccines. So basically, 2 + 2 = 4 here, right? Vaccines are known to damage the brain. The government basically admitted as much. Perhaps that's why they are trying to teach us that 2 + 2 = 5, so we won't be able to put 2 and 2 together. Now, there's going to be more coming up after this, but first, Dr. Andrew Wakefield joined the Alex Jones Show yesterday to break down even further this whistleblower information about the CDC vaccine cover-up. Stay with us.
This has been a momentous couple of weeks. I don't remember anything quite like it in the last 20 years, but just to back up a little bit, the first study we did was on the MMR vaccine back in 1998, and that was a vaccine, a live viral vaccine, that parents had linked to autism. It did not have thimerosal in, but many of the other vaccines, particularly those in use in this country, did have thimerosal, the mercury preservative. That had been implicated in neurodevelopmental disorders over here, and we think, as you pointed out, that these things are interacting with each other to potentiate the risk. But just in the last 2 weeks, and great credit to Brian Hooker, Dr. Brian Hooker, who bought this whistleblower out. Dr. William Thompson, a senior scientist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has come forward and admitted to 13 years of fraud and cover-up of the link between MMR vaccine and autism.
Because of a tortured conscience.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is epic. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he did that. And he raised these concerns way back in 2001, 2002. He went right to the top of the CDC to Julie Gerberding, who, as you well know, went straight from the CDC to become head of vaccines at Merck.
So he's been a tortured soul for 14 years, worried about this.
Yes, he has. And he finally came forward to Dr. Hooker, and he really spilled his heart out and told him the truth about what had happened. They had tested the hypothesis, the idea that the younger age of exposure that you got the MMR, the greater the risk of autism. That makes sense because when you get natural measles, if you get it under one, then the outcome is likely to be worse than if you get it over one. So we see this with natural infection. In fact, we put that idea forward to the CDC back in 2000, 2001. So they tested that idea, and they showed that it was correct. They spent the next 3 years working out how to get rid of that effect so that they didn't have to admit to the fact that MMR vaccine was, in fact, for some children, not safe.
How is the media so controlled that this vindicating information that could save tens of millions of children's brains, with autism going from 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 68 now, just epidemic, how could this not be national news?
It is extraordinary, isn't it, how much the media is controlled, is owned by, I believe, their sponsors and influence from the government. It is incredible. I mean, what Dr. Thompson described, and let me just give you the context here. If this were a money laundering ring, Dr. Thompson would be the accountant. He is the man with the numbers. He did the analysis. He knows. So he is the key guy. And when he comes forward and says this, then you better take it.
He's the comptroller, the kingpin.
Absolutely.
This isn't some low level. This is like the guy that saw the BS.
Absolutely. He saw it. He pointed it out. he pointed out, at the highest level in the CDC, and instead of being acted upon, he was disciplined instead. So that is...
As you were.
Exactly. That seems to be the modus operandi if you come forward with concerns about vaccine safety.
How dare you not want to have millions of brain-damaged children on your hands? Yeah. That's...
And it's even more insidious than that, Alex, because what he found, as the alternative media have reported, is that the effect was driven by a very high risk in black boys. Why that was, we don't know. Why particularly black boys? Is that a genetic component to the risk? We don't know. But I said to him, what do these data say? Are they telling us that actually MMR vaccine is a risk for autism per se, and that younger age of exposure is a particular risk in the African-American male population? He said, absolutely.
As more whistleblowers come out, as just happened this week with another, they're all going to prison if this ever comes out. I mean, just like 5 years ago, they would say, don't give a pregnant woman any vaccines. Now they say pregnant women need more. It's well known it causes problems with the fetus. So their answer is just say, no, it's like pumpkin pie. There just seems to be a Hitlerian commitment to this.
There is. It's almost like a religion. It's the first thing that happens is if you question vaccine safety, then you're put in a corner and said, people say you're anti-vaccine, that you clearly can't be listened to because you're not talking science. That's just a convenient way of dismissing.
I wish there was a vaccine for all this different stuff. I want to be healthy. I want my kids to be protected from tetanus and stuff. I mean, it's just the problem is they have a huge history of tetanus shots full of problems.
Yeah, it raises another issue, Alex, and that is the problem, for example, with MMR, because it's three viruses in one vaccine. If you gave them separately, would you have less of a problem? And we didn't see this issue when we had the single measles vaccine. That's something I've always advocated. Give parents the choice of single vaccines. And you know what happened in the UK when I suggested that. 6 months later, they took away the choice of single vaccine.
They got upset because it showed you were right.
Well, they said we need to protect the vaccine policy rather than the children. That was the net effect of what they said. So we'll take away the choice of single vaccines. Our emphasis is not necessarily to protect children from infectious disease, but to protect our vaccine policy. This is a story that came from a senior member of the Department of Health.
How can they defeat parents who have a child that was happy and healthy after vaccines that's brain damaged? How do they ever think they're going to get away with this? As the damage mounts, they're only going to create more opposition. Don't they get it's a losing battle?
They don't. I think they're beginning to now because they are losing so badly. They've spent billions of dollars, billions of pounds on expensive public relations campaigns, and they are losing. They are losing the hearts and minds of the public. Why? Because it is true. Not because I say so, not because Jenny McCarthy says so, but because they see it in their own streets.
Their own top scientists said they were ordered to cover it up.
That's exactly right. So now the whole house of cards is going to fall. And the other thing that came out recently on Friday, I was mentioning it, that Steve Carlin, a scientist working in the MMR vaccine lab of Merck, reported fraud in that laboratory, overestimating the effectiveness of the mumps vaccine.
They understand, hey, we're hurting people. We better talk about it. These are heroes for doing the right thing.
That's right. So their mumps vaccine was not working. We were seeing outbreaks of mumps in highly vaccinated populations around the world. And so they were told by the FDA, either you prove what it says on your product insert, 96% protection, or you lose your license. Now, you lose a license for mumps, you lose the license for MMR, and Merck have got a monopoly in this country, and that's a lot of money. So they set about trying to fix the test, not the vaccine. They had two options. They could act in the children's interests, or they could act in Merck's interests. And what they did, apparently, is to act in Merck's interests and fix the test. So what they did to the test is to add rabbit's blood to it.
Unbelievable.
Rabbit's blood. Absolutely nothing to do with the ability of the mumps vaccine to protect children, but add rabbit's blood.
Is that because the rabbits have an immunity?
No, it's because it falsely elevates the protection of the apparent protection of the vaccine
without
doing it at all. It's an artifact. It's a lab effect. It's nothing to do with immunity at all. So when they did that, it worked. But what they did...
So they engaged in fraud.
They engaged in fraud. They asked him to fix his data. They asked him to cross out what he'd written before, write some new numbers, which convinced the FDA that the vaccine was right. He took them to a whistleblower court. He filed a case, took it to court. And the good news is that Merck, having tried to have it thrown out of court, have just on Friday lost that case, and it will proceed to trial. And so for everybody, that is very, very good news, because what it will eventually do is bring out the truth about the efficacy and safety of that vaccine, and I believe lead to the demise of the MMR vaccine as it currently is. That is not that it will get rid of single vaccine. Maybe we should go back to single vaccines because they're protective, but mumps vaccine was never needed. And this is the important point. This comes not from me, but from Donald Henderson, who was head of the smallpox eradication program at the CDC. He said it wasn't needed. They did a study when it first was introduced. They said, we don't need this vaccine. And it slowly appeared on down. Here's the fascinating. I'll tell you a story about this. They did a study. The vaccine wasn't needed. They said to Morris Hillerman of Merck, we don't need this. So he went state by state by state, persuading health officials to introduce it. In the end, so many states were using it that the CDC said, in Donald Henderson's words, oh, to hell with it. We might as well put it on the schedule. That's the scientific basis for the use of mandatory mumps vaccination in this country. From the man himself, Dr. Donald Henderson, oh, to hell with it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Groot. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield True Nascent Iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there, and I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Ravens running back Ray Rice was cut from the team today after video surfaced of him knocking out his then-fiancée unconscious and then dragging her body out of an elevator. Prior to the team seeing this video, Rice was only suspended for 2 games, and he was fined. Now, Kit Daniels writes that because the running back used his bare hands instead of a gun to attack, the NFL can't use Ray Rice to promote gun control. The NFL has consistently pushed their gun control agenda. You'll recall, after Kansas City linebacker Jovan Belcher shot and killed his girlfriend before killing himself in 2012, an NBC sportscaster blamed America's gun culture for the killings during the Sunday night football halftime show. on the following day. The NFL also has banned off-duty cops from carrying their guns inside stadiums. And late last year, the NFL rejected a pro-gun Super Bowl advertisement by Daniel Defense, which depicted a Marine arriving to greet his family with a voiceover that stated, "No one has the right to tell me how to defend them." So, of course, this is a perfect example of targeted censorship because it doesn't fit the agenda. Now, obviously, this video was powerful enough to take Ray Rice down. Audio recordings of Donald Sterling forced him to be banned for life from the NBA, as well as it forced him to sell his team. People do not want to be caught on video with in an incriminating fashion. And that's why we're seeing cops so aggressively targeting people who attempt to film them with their cell phones or even iPads. Here we have an Oregon man who was arrested for filming a militarized police raid in his neighborhood that the cops accused him of interfering with their operation by recording the incident on an iPad from across the street. The cops told him, "You go inside right now. It's a lawful order. Go inside right now," before they began swiping at his iPad. Now, despite the fact that legal precedent and law clearly dictates that it is not illegal to film the police, nor does recording the police constitute interfering in their activity, Americans continue to be arrested for doing so. And frankly, who cares? Even when they are caught on video, they're not even being charged. They're not even being fired for this. I mean, just take the instance of Kelly Thomas, who was beaten for nearly 20 minutes while he was screaming for his daddy, and a jury found those police officers to be not guilty. Or we have these six NYPD officers who took turns beating and kicking 23-year-old Santiago Hernandez after he asked why was he being searched through their controversial stop and frisk policy. You can see the video. It's up on Mediaite. But he's basically just standing there, and the cops demand to frisk him. He complies. They find nothing. And so when he asks why are they frisking him, they handcuff him, push him to the ground, and he is pummeled by six police officers. He said they were taking turns like a gang. Now, later, he was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, but the Bronx DA declined to prosecute the case, and NYPD Internal Affairs, they're investigating the incident. They are investigating themselves. And so we have people that getting really angry at the residents of Ferguson, saying, why not just take the time, allow the system to work for you? This is how the system works. This is why those people were so angry. Cops will bully and beat their way around and then get away with it, even if there is damning evidence. Now, at least this video will perhaps help this man to win in a civil trial. But of course, who's going to pay for that? The taxpayers. And the police will probably get a paid vacation. Now, that's not all. Because cops mostly act with impunity, now they're bragging about their aggressive tactics, which include taking hundreds of millions of dollars from drivers who aren't even charged with any crimes. And this is a little-known technique called highway interdiction. Now, the Washington Post reports that this aggressive policing has been encouraged since the government called on police to become the eyes and ears of Homeland Security on America's highways after the terror attacks on September 11, 2001. You see, they hate us for our freedoms, so the government has been working aggressively to take those freedoms away. That's why we see all these police departments being armed with military surplus vehicles. Now, they're using the Black Asphalt Electronic Networking and Notification System. It enables police nationwide to share detailed reports about American motorists, criminals, and the innocent alike. A private intelligence network known as Black Asphalt Electronic Networking and Notification System enables police nationwide to share detailed reports about American motorists. These would be criminals and the innocent alike. This includes social security numbers, addresses, and identifying tattoos, as well as hunches about which drivers to stop. Now, many of these reports will be funneled to federal agencies and fusion centers. And this is all despite repeated warnings from state and federal authorities that the information could violate privacy and constitutional protections. And one of the primary ways that police departments are able to seize money and share in the proceeds is through a long-standing Justice Department civil asset forfeiture program known as equitable sharing. This is a law enforcement tool that allows the government to take cash and property without pressing criminal charges, and it then requires that the owners prove that their possessions were legally acquired. Now, of course, many people don't have the money to take this to court to prove that their money was legally acquired, and they're basically counting on that. And when they're at these stops, officers are taught not to tell the driver that they have a right at any time to leave after a traffic stop is concluded. Prolonging the stop in order to bring in the dogs is actually detaining someone without probable cause. And now we learn that cops are actively being trained to use psychological pressure at stops to get people to give up their rights as well as their property. Now, you've got to know your rights because cops are actively working to trick you out of them. And one of the ways that you can go about doing this, start by watching the video. It's up on InfoWars in our multimedia section. Secrets Police Don't Want You to Know. And this features former deputy sheriff and Rule of Law radio host Eddie Craig. And he's talking about your rights when it comes to being stopped by police. So that is a very good place to start. Well, thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. If you're watching us on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of Prison Planet TV. We're able to bring you all the content that you need to fight the info war. And of course, your support helps to fund this operation. Thanks for watching the show tonight. We'll see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.